Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life. Welcome to our special guest today, Rachel Rogers. Rachel is the CEO of Hello 7, intellectual property lawyer and business coach. Rachel's mission is to help women hit seven figures without sacrificing their families and their sanity. Rachel works with entrepreneurs to create and protect their own intellectual property to scale their businesses to over $1 million. Over the past 7 years, she's worked with New York Times best-selling authors, tech startups, coaches, consultants, doctors, accountants, nutritionists, and so many more to take their businesses to the next level. Hello 7 hit a massive $1 million month in June 2019 and then went on to make $5 million during a global pandemic. Along with her work with Hello 7, Rachel is also leading the conversation around social justice and Black wealth. Her anti-racist small business pledge has been signed by more than 2,200 businesses. Her expertise has been featured on The Drew Barrymore Show, CNBC Make It, Forbes Entrepreneur, Fast Company, and Women's Health. Rachel, it's so great to have you. I've been following along on your journey actually for some time now. So Rachel, I know you were in the law, in the legal field for some time. So can you tell me more about how you pivoted from that to this current business that you're in?
So I started out right after law school. I did a clerkship with a judge who was awesome. And I'm actually still in touch with him. And it was a great experience. And during that time, it's a 1 year clerkship. And then when that 1 year is over, you're out, right? Because a new clerk is going to come in. And so during that time, I was looking for a job in the legal field and government jobs, law firms, just all different places that I was applying. But I really didn't find, first of all, it was super competitive. It was the middle of a recession when I graduated in 2009. And so it was challenging to find the job that I actually really wanted that I could get really excited about. I was offered a few jobs. I turned them down and I said, you know what? I'm going to start my own practice. And so I did that and I practiced for about 6 to 7 years before I started to transition into coaching. And really what I found is that I absolutely loved running a business. I loved the, you know, strategizing. I enjoyed marketing. I enjoyed selling. I enjoyed managing a team. Like, I really loved every aspect of running my business. I didn't love doing the legal work though. But I still kept, because I was good at running the business and I was good at marketing and sales, I was able to bring in team members and really hire other attorneys and other team members to help me deliver the work. And what happened was, my practice grew. We were making probably around $700,000 a year. And a lot of my clients were coming to me saying, how are you making this much money? Like, teach me how to grow my business this much. They wanted me to do legal work for them, but then they also wanted me to help them grow their businesses. And so I was charging for the legal work and giving the coaching and business advice for free. And at some point I was like, I wonder if I could do the opposite and just give legal advice for free and charge for the business strategy and advice. And so I just decided to take on my first coaching client, someone who had come to me and said, like, I really want to learn from you. And so I decided to do a one-on-one coaching package with them and just try it. So I'm fully running my law business, fully like immersed in my law practice. That's where all of my income is coming from. But I was like, let me just try it. So I almost did it as a side hustle, really, and took on my first client, really enjoyed it. She had a ton of success. We both got so much out of that experience and had other people coming to me. So I decided to put together a small group coaching package for 4 months. So I was trying to sort of dabble in it in a low commitment way and not like bet the farm on this idea. And as I dabbled into it, I saw that there was a ton of interest and I really loved it. And then I started kind of plotting my transition. And it probably took me like almost 18 months to 2 years of transitioning. So I was still running my law practice, taking law clients, and then selling business coaching and taking on one-on-one clients and doing more and more coaching until I got to the point where I didn't need to do the law practice anymore. And so I wound up dismantling the team. Like one of my core team members had personal stuff going on. And so she decided to leave. Mm-hmm. And once she did that, it almost like gave me permission to shut down the law practice. And so I officially took the leap. So it was a transition. And if people are thinking of transitioning out of what they're currently doing into something else, like know that you can do it slowly. It doesn't have to be jumping off a cliff.
Right.
You can jump off a cliff, you know. But for me, I was the sole breadwinner for my household and my family, and I didn't have the option to like not have an income. So I had to do what I had to do.
And so it sounds like this is really your passion, Rachel, which is great. And so I wanted to ask, just to get specific, because I know many women are listening and they're like, I wonder how much it's going to cost me to start up. What are the startup costs like? And I know it's a bit different because you were transitioning, but can you give us a sense of what the costs were in terms of starting up and what your monthly net revenue looks like now?
Yeah. So, you know, when I first started my law practice, you know, which was my very first business, this was my first foray into entrepreneurship. I started off with, I had some income from, because it was a recession and because, you know, I technically lost my job because it's a year term and then you're done. I was like able to get unemployment benefits, which was allowed during that time. They kind of loosened up the rules. If you were starting your own business, you could get unemployment during, because we were in the middle of the Great Recession in 2009 and 2010. And so I was able to get some unemployment income, which that helped to supplement my income. I moved out of my house and rented it out and moved into a tiny little basement apartment with my husband. I got rid of my nice car and got like a janky little Altima that cost me like $800. So like I seriously downsized my lifestyle so that I could live off of a lot less temporarily so that I could start this business. So there was definitely some sacrifice there. Mm-hmm. My startup costs were $300. Like the only thing I spent money on was professional liability insurance, which you need when you're practicing law, and business cards. Everything else, I used my laptop that I had from law school. I had a law degree and I passed the bar, right? I was licensed to practice law. Mm-hmm. So like I was the business. I really was just selling my own services directly.
Right.
And so there wasn't a lot of startup costs. And I recommend that even if you want to sell a product, you can, if you don't have the capital, you can sell services. Like, Franklin Covey, which is that big company that sells planners now, they started out as a consulting company and then decided to create a planner and transitioned into a product-based business. And I've seen a lot of that happen with my clients. And so I think that that is a good path. You can also raise capital. That's an option too. Mm-hmm. Harder for women, definitely harder for women of color. Just because society is what it is, not because we're not extremely capable and talented entrepreneurs. And so I think that's a good way to start, but yeah. So in the beginning, I lowered my household expenses. It was just me. I emailed everyone that I knew, got my first few clients that way. And in that first year, I think I made about 60,000. Mm-hmm. So it was enough to like cover my lifestyle. Was it a huge amount of money? No, but it was like, I could live off of it, you know?
Right.
And of course those first 3 to 4 months, it was much less than that, but then it started to pick up after a couple of months. And then, you know, the second year my revenue jumped from 60,000 annually to 300,000. So it can happen pretty quickly. Like if you give it a solid 2 years, you're going to start to be really happy with what's coming in. And I think with the resources out there now, with the software, the Facebook ads, there's so many different ways to reach people that were not available 10 years ago when I started. Mm-hmm. I think you can even make that timeline shorter, but that's what the money looked like when I first started. And now, you know, where our business is at 5 million this year. So a lot can happen.
For sure. That's amazing. So Rachel, like I know, you know, you talk about really refining your business offering. And I know you tell your clients that a lot. And so how have you done that? Like, you know, in terms of your core service offering, and how have you really streamlined that, you know, to maximize your revenue?
Yes. Well, I started to just look around when I was at that, you know, 500,000-700,000 mark, and I really wanted to get past that seven figure mark and hit $1 million or more. I kind of plateaued around that time. So I was making the same amount of money in my business for probably a 3-year period. And I think a big part of that was that I really didn't want to practice law anymore, and it was time for me to transition. But I think another piece to that was I was doing too much. And there was 1 year where I sat down and like just reviewed my books, and I went and did a spreadsheet for like how much of each thing that we're selling we sold that year. So like, how much money did we make from our digital product? How much money did we make from trademark services? How much money did we make from contract negotiations? And I just kind of laid out each SKU, if you will, right? Like each service that we sold, how much money did we make from it? And what I found was that the vast majority of our income, probably like 80% or more of our income, was coming from two things. One was trademark services, and the other one was our digital product, Small Business Bodyguard. And so what that told me is like, okay, I'm going to cut everything else except those two things. And then I'm even going to transition out of doing trademark work, you know, and just focus on the digital product and making money from that. And so that's what we did. So we, you know, and I think most businesses will find this to be true. If you actually look at your books, if you've been in business for a couple of years and you look at your books and see what actually sells, there's probably one main thing that is bringing in a whole lot more money than everything else that you sell. And so what I found is like, I'm running around like a crazy person doing copyright applications, doing contract negotiations, doing all of this work that requires a lot of lift, right? Like there's a lot of delivery involved. There's attorneys that I'm paying to work on it that I'm supervising that are on my team, right? So like as a company where there's a lot of expense related to those few services, and those services don't even bring in 25% of our total revenue. I'm like, what a waste, right? Like cut it, no. Cut the fat,
right?
And stay focused on like, and so, you know, when we went for about a year or two, we went all in on trademark services, and majority of our income was coming from trademark services. We were able to really systematize it because we only had that one main thing, that and the digital product that we were selling. And so that made it just really easy. When people came to us and they wanted anything except trademarks, we'd be like, buy the digital product. It will give you contract templates. It'll help you do all of those things. And then if they wanted trademarks, yes, we'll take care of your trademarks for you. And we made more money, you know, with less work, less headache, less team members, more streamlined. Mm-hmm. And so I just decided to always stick to that plan. And so when I started my coaching, you know, I tried a lot of different things. I tried classes. I tried masterminds. I tried doing group coaching. I tried one-on-one coaching. And, you know, I dabbled for a little while. And I would say, you know, you're going to do that. When you start a business, you're going to dabble for a little while. Then when you figure out what's working, what is your client excited about, what delivers amazing results, what do you really enjoy doing, and what delivers, you know, revenue for you, streamline, cut everything else and just focus on that one thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's how we got to 5 million. You know, people ask like, how did you make so much revenue? It's because we focused on one offer and just went all in on that offer. All of our energy is on making it as good as possible. And our marketing is all focused on that one thing. So customers aren't confused. They're not like, should I buy that or should I buy this or should I buy that? They know exactly there's only one thing to buy. So either you want it or you don't. You know?
I know that.
And I think that that really helps. And when I look around, yes, I see so many businesses that like the most successful ones that are making 10 million and more, they have one offer and they're focused on that one offer. And that's what's helping them do that. So, you know, that is my advice to small businesses. If you want to make more money, do less.
Yeah, no, that's great advice for sure. And so, you know, since we're also talking passion economy, and which has really accelerated, this year, as people, you know, find themselves jobless and are thinking about, you know, how can I make money off my core passions? Any advice for someone in that situation, for how they can launch out that way, and how is Hello7 a core passion for you, Rachel?
Well, one of the first things that I recommend that people do is really take stock of their own skills, experience, natural talents. And one of the easiest ways to do that is with an assessment. So, like, you know, you could do Strengths Finders, there's DISC, there's Colby, there's all these different personality assessments that you can take, and like skills assessments where you can really get a good sense of what are my natural talents and skills? What are the things that I've been drawn to even when I was a child? And I think those can often start to point you in the right direction. And then I would also take stock of your work experience, like the kinds of work that you enjoyed the most, or looking at your current job and saying, what parts of this job do I love and what part don't I love? Like for me, when I was running my law practice, I loved being a CEO. I loved marketing. I loved selling. I loved all of those pieces. I did not enjoy doing the legal work. You know, it'd be like the last thing on my list. And so, you know, it helped me to see like, oh, I really like being out there. I like teaching. I like talking to people. I like managing people. I don't like kind of sitting behind my computer doing a lot of detail-oriented work over long periods of time. That I did not enjoy. I love strategizing with a group and that kind of thing. And so that's what made me realize, okay, so if I can put myself in a position where I'm doing what I love 80% of the time or more, then, you know, I'm really going to enjoy it. It's not going to be hard to be consistent. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I lack discipline. No, you don't. You're just doing work you really don't want to be doing. If you were doing work you were excited about, you wouldn't lack discipline. You would show up enthusiastic every day, you know?
Right.
So I think all of those things can start to point you towards a passion. And at some point we do need to stop overanalyzing and just try something, right? Like if I would have never ran a law practice, I would have had no idea how much I enjoyed being a business owner and how much I enjoyed business in general. I would have never known that. I didn't go to business school. I didn't study business law when I was in school. You know, like this was the only way to find that out. So it's good to start with something.
Yes.
And you can always pivot and change course later. And I really have now in my business, our core offer is the club, which is a membership for women entrepreneurs. And we teach them how to build and scale a business, and coaching and teaching and events. And I absolutely love it. And it's a community. Like a big part of it is facilitating this community of professional women. And that is so enjoyable. I love everything about it. Everything that we do in the club is like totally aligned with my strengths and what I really enjoy doing. And it's a mission, right? Like my goal is to help more women, especially women of color, build seven-figure businesses because the stats are abysmal about that. Like less than 2% of women entrepreneurs ever get to seven figures. And I want to change that. And so this allows me to do that. So it's connected to a mission that I care about and it's doing work that I enjoy. So it's not hard to show up.
It's amazing. It's amazing work. And so I just wanted to pick up on a point that you mentioned before in terms of COVID and just wondering if you've had to, you know, transition in terms of the current climate. Have you had to, you know, adjust anything in terms of COVID and women looking to start businesses? Or have you found the opposite? Have you found that more women are coming forward, you know, given, you know, the high unemployment rates? Have more women been coming forward or what's the transition looking like in terms of this current climate?
Well, for us, you know, we started out this year, the club is a relatively new offer, which we launched in April. So it was the result of a pandemic pivot. We were doing similar work, but it was in a small group mastermind. So it was a high cost, and more working really closely with people one-on-one and in very small groups. We had 50 clients, you know, that was our whole business, was approximately 50 clients. And they each paid, you know, thousands of dollars each to be mentored and coached by myself and my team. And then, you know, we found that like, you know, we weren't enjoying it as much anymore as we had been when we started. There were aspects to it that were getting really hard. And then on top of that, when March came, we had several clients drop off because it was a big expense. It's a couple thousand dollars a month. And because we were doing such hands-on, like deep diving into your business, we, you know, we needed to charge for that. And so it was not a low cost kind of service. And so, you know, we decided like, okay, let's go to our clients and ask them, what are they looking for from us? Cause we're going to need to pivot. We need to figure out what that pivot looks like. We did have time. We had a solid emergency fund and, you know, we had plenty of runway to figure out, okay, this isn't working long-term. We're not in an emergency state, but we are going to be if we don't change something soon. And so we went to our clients and said, like, what are you looking for from us? We you know, we only had 50 clients, but we had 70,000 people on our mailing list, right? Like we had huge amounts of people listening to our podcast. And they were like, we want to work with you, but we can't afford your high-end service. And we're like more like beginners or earlier on in our business journey. And we want to work with you in a more affordable way. And so that's where we came up with this. We were like, okay, well, how could we possibly do that? And we had to figure out a business plan that would work, a model that would work. And so we did that. And we wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for the pandemic. And it wound up being like a reason for our growth. We ended in 2019, we were at 2 million. We've more than doubled our revenue this year. And it is largely because we pivoted and now we were more accessible, more affordable.
Right.
And now we have 2,000 clients.
Right? So, that's amazing.
Big difference.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so even getting the jump in clients, like, was there a formula for that? Was there a reason, like one specific reason that you can identify? Or was it that just, you know, it became so much more affordable that more people were able to hop on?
Well, here's what happened. I mean, we initially had, when we launched the club and the membership community, we initially had about 350 people that signed up right away, which was amazing. And we were thrilled. And then George Floyd's murder happened. And then the country started talking about things. And I would say, like, honestly, you know, I've always been outraged about the way police interact with Black people ever since I was a kid growing up in New York City and having my own interactions with police that were, you know, racist and uncomfortable. But that one, I think it really radicalized me on a level that I hadn't been before. And I was just angry on a whole nother level. And so I started seeing in my small business community, you know, big, like very well-known entrepreneurs, all of whom were white, responding to George Floyd's death with the sort of typical thoughts and prayers, donate here kind of thing. And I was just like, yes. No, not acceptable. You have to do more than that, you know? And like where people wanted to talk about it in the business community, like people who had communities of customers who were Black people who were saying like, I'm really devastated by this and I don't even know how to show up in my business this week because I'm so hurt by this. And them saying, well, this is not a place to talk about race or politics. We're only going to talk about business here, you know? And of course our race and politics, of course it affects our business. It affects our lives. And so I was so outraged. I recorded a video to talk about, you know, this good white liberal response, right? Like the response that people who consider themselves good white liberals, you know, they say the right things, but they don't really do anything. They're not really allies in this fight with us. And so I just started to talk about it because I was upset and it was just my truth in the moment. It was not a business move. It was not for any reason other than that. I just had to get this out, what I was seeing. And that video wound up going viral.
Wow.
So many people saw it. So many people responded to it. Thousands of people. And so what happened was all of those people started pouring into our membership community. Mm-hmm. So if there is a formula, I would say, speak your truth, right? Yeah. Say what you have to say, have an opinion about things, stand up for what you believe in, because that draws people in. You think it's going to push people away, and it probably does push certain people away, but those are not your people anyway. It will literally attract your clients to you because they know who you are now. They know what you stand for. They know what your values are. And we all want to be purchasing from companies where our values are aligned. And so I think if there was any formula that caused our growth this year, that was it. Although it wasn't a business move. It was just a, I'm outraged and I need to speak my truth right now move, you know?
Yeah. And yet so true that speaking your mind and being authentic is the way to go. So I just wanted to, you know, ask one very important question as we wrap up. And that, you know, if you were to leave listeners with one key to success, you know, that everyone can emulate, regardless of what product or service they're providing, what would that one key to success be?
Okay, so this is it. There's actually a stat that shows that 95% of your success or failure can be predicted based on who you spend time with. And so the one thing that I would say that I think is so crucial to success that people often overlook is surrounding yourself with like-minded people, with other ambitious women, with people who are going after what you're also going after. I think the effects of that, like, and there are studies that in universities where they study kids who are hanging out with a bunch of kids who are getting great grades and kids who are hanging out with people who aren't getting great grades. And it's not like they're choosing their friends based on their grades. It's just who they happen to be hanging out with.
Yep.
That affected the kinds of grades that they got. And if they were hanging out with straight A students, their grades wound up going up. If they were hanging out with kids who were failing classes, they started failing classes. And so I just think we really underestimate how much the people that we regularly spend time with are influencing us.
Yeah.
And so allow that influence to help you, to lift you up, to push you towards where you want to go. So the best thing that I ever did for myself was join a community of women and people of color, and people who had a shared experience similar to mine, who were going after building a business and who are ambitious and who wanted to make big things happen. And when I started hanging out with them, I got resources and connections and ideas and someone to bounce ideas off of and brainstorm with, someone to lament with when things got hard, someone who didn't think I was crazy for starting my own business.
Yeah.
You know, and once I had that, I mean, it just all got easier. So if you want to make this journey easier for yourself and faster, spend time with other entrepreneurs who are out there doing the same thing that you want to do.
Yep. Great. Wise words. And of course, I have to ask you before we go about the ranch. And I feel like, you know, your story, you know, my book is called Holistic Wealth. And when I look at your story and I look at the things you're doing, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this embodies it. So I want to know what's happening next with the ranch. Of course, I want to know if you've always just had a lifelong passion for the sport, and you know how that came about, and what's next?
So no, I've had nothing to do with farming or horses or anything in my former life. I grew up in an apartment in Queens, you know, like we had no land, we had no house, we had no backyard. But you know, it was something that like my husband and I, we traveled a lot around the US, and something that we noticed is like people who had these large pieces of land and could do all kinds of cool stuff with it. And there was a point at which we were like, that would be really cool. That's a dream. Like, I would love to do that one day. And so that was just a dream that sort of stayed in the back of our minds. And we wound up moving down to North Carolina. We bought our dream house. We built it. We felt like this is the house we're going to live in forever. And then we found out about a piece of property that was for sale. And we went and came and saw it. And the day we saw it, we knew. We were like, this is it. We're doing it. Wow. And it was like, we weren't even thinking about having a big piece of land or anything. We were content in our little house that we loved. And then this opportunity came up and we just couldn't pass it by. And this was February before the pandemic. And we were like, we're doing it. So we did it. And we bought this 50-acre ranch. And so we're about to get horses in the next couple of weeks. We have a retreat house here, so people will be able to welcome people. And we're going to start a farm, and we're going to be planting early next year. So I'm just really excited. And it's a way for me to provide balance, right? A lot of my work is on the internet, and I'm on a computer all day. And I just love having this piece of land with these private trails and getting my hands dirty and, you know, playing with horses. And just like, it's important to have hobbies and have other interests outside of work.
Yes.
And so it kind of feeds that. And I'm really excited about providing a place for Black people to come. Like, our plan is to do workshops and provide horseback riding lessons. And, you know, this is, it'll be its own separate business, not something that I really want to make a lot of money off of, but it's just a passion project, because I don't think that for us as Black people, as people of color, a lot of us don't have the experience or don't have access to horses or to coming to a place like this, where we don't have to worry, like, you know, what the experience is going to be like, right? Like, where we can feel safe and feel and have access to nature and farms and things like that. So our plan is to just make this accessible in some way. And so we're still figuring that out, but we're really excited and we really enjoy it.
Okay, perfect. I know for sure. Holistic wealth in a nutshell. Okay, yes. So thank you for sharing. Exactly. Thanks for sharing with us, Rachel. Can you tell people where to find you?
Yes.
Online or, yeah.
They can check us out at hello7.co is our website. And I hang out on Instagram, and I'm at Rach Rogers ESQ on Instagram. So check me out there.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good. Great. Thank you for being here and sharing with us, Rachel. This is awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. I also want to thank Rachel Rogers for being our guest this week. And you can check out her new book, which is now out for pre-order. It's called We Should All Be Millionaires. Make sure to visit our website, KeishaBlair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth.com/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks. Free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth.com/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning, best-selling Holistic Wealth 32 life lessons to help you find purpose, prosperity, and happiness.